This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. July 5th, 2026. Daniel, Chapter 1.
Two hundred and fifty years. It's a lot of time for a nation to celebrate its independence, being free from being controlled by another nation, being free to carry about its governance and its people to live about in safety and relative security. 250 years. That's something to thank God for. And I'm sure that everyone who lives in this nation, in the United States, is recognizing the many years of blessing that God has poured out on this land and on our people. Blessing that He gives despite the things that we've done or who we are, blessings given in His grace. But fellow Christians, we are part of two kingdoms. And today we look at God's word and consider how, as the believers in our Lord, our King Jesus, we belong to a far greater kingdom, one that has gone farther than merely 250 years of relative peace and prosperity compared to many nations in this world. No, we have a kingdom that's far greater, a peace that's far greater, and a king who exceeds every ruler. As we give thanks to God for the many years of grace He's poured out on our earthly kingdom, we can also give Him thanks for the many years, the countless blessings we have as members of His everlasting kingdom. We'll consider that as we look at God's word and how the people in ancient Israel lived as members of two different kingdoms. We'll look at the book of Daniel, chapter 1 in particular. You see, Daniel was someone who could give thanks when he was born that his nation had been independent. Going back to the time of the great reign of someone like King David, Daniel could look on 400 years of history. And even going back further, extending to the time when God brought His people out of Egypt and led them by Moses, and with power and glory, He gave them independence as a nation. You could say Daniel's nation had celebrated almost 1,000 years since their Independence Day, and they left Egypt and became their own people, their own nation. But despite all that, Daniel was torn out of the kingdom of Israel. The nation, because of their long-standing sins, faced the long spoken of and warned, the long-pending judgment of God. In His great patience, God let the nation go on, and yet the time came when the judgment rained down on them, and the kingdom of Israel was destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem were torn down. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple and their house of worship, and people like Daniel were carried from their nation to another nation. We see that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, after he had destroyed Jerusalem and subdued the nation of Israel, chose to bring people from that nation and exile them to a foreign land to serve in his nation. He did this for some particular men so that they might serve even in his royal palace. As those who understood both worlds and cultures, Daniel and three of his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, these were taken to serve and to train to serve in the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar. And for 3 years, Daniel and his three friends, you might know them by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were trained and be fit for service in Babylon to serve the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Only there was a problem. Daniel and his companions were unwilling to let go of their allegiance, not just to their foreign nation that they'd been brought out of and into. They were unwilling to let go of their allegiance to the king who was Lord of all. See, God had given them as a people certain directives on foods that were considered clean and unclean. And Daniel was, by the chief in charge of them, of the court officials, was given the royal food to eat from the king's table. And that this was not in line with what God wanted them to eat. These probably pork and other meals items were unclean. So Daniel did what anyone who was recognizing they belonged to God, would do, he asked to continue to serve and worship his God, even though he was entering in a new nation and a new authority in a new land. You know, the kingdoms of this world will often be in conflict with the kingdom of God. Just because something is permitted or spoken of as acceptable in the kingdom of this world, be it our nation or any other, that doesn't mean it stands before the courtroom of God. And Daniel, being conscience-stricken, decided he was going to follow the Lord. This wouldn't be the first time. What do you do when it comes to the two kingdoms that you walk in? We can give thanks for the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation with the Bill of Rights. And there's this movie that depicts a homeschooled family, and that homeschooled family is comparing their learning with another family. And one of the moms in a regular school says, "Your kids aren't learning anything." And the dad says, "Oh yeah?" As he asked the other children belonging to the regular school, "What are the Bill of Rights?" And those kids, looks like they're about teenagers, struggle to say, "Well, the Bill of Rights were some rights that the government gave some people." And then the dad with his homeschooled children brings them in and asks them, "What are the Bill of Rights?" And this child, more like probably 7 or 8 years old, begins to recite word for word all the wording of the first of the Bill of Rights. And then the dad interrupts, says, no, I know that you know them, but I want you to tell me, what do they mean?" And then the 7 or 8 year old begins to explain, almost like a lawyer in a courtroom, exactly why these Bill of Rights are so significant to make us unique from other nations. The Bill of Rights are a unique blessing, not to be taken for granted, because unlike Daniel and his companions, we have freedom to worship our God. We have freedom to gather and to assemble in the name of our triune God, and no one can tell us what to believe or how to practice our religion. And yet, there will be times when our nation or government permits something or says that something is acceptable to do or to practice, and that's in conflict with what God permits or what his commands and laws tell his people. I don't know how much we have to pause right now at this time and consider how many things our nation considers acceptable or even sometimes beneficial, but are really ungodly, destructive, and sinful. Whether it be the start of human life and how much we value or treat human life, or the end of human life and the way that we regard our elders, or maybe whether it be the way we treat our bodies and the gift of marriage. With many of those things, the government either does not care or stands in opposition to God's word. What is a Christian to do when they're part of both kingdoms? Brothers and sisters, I know how it is. It would have been easy for Daniel to simply say, "Well, we're in a different nation. We don't just belong to God, we belong to the Babylonians now." Or even in defeat to say, "Well, their culture is more powerful, it's greater, it's clearly overcome our culture, so maybe we just need to adapt. And when in Rome, as the saying goes, do like the Romans do." Or in this case, the Babylonians. But Daniel recognized whatever the governing authorities were going to do or say, whatever the culture around him would do, he belonged to a greater kingdom. As the people of God, we're tempted to think that we can celebrate and live in this kingdom as if it's the end all. But then we're reminded when we see how this kingdom at times fails, turns aside from truth, or eventually will crumble, that we have a greater kingdom. If we lose sight of that kingdom, we lose sight of the one that truly matters and that lasts. Daniel decided to serve the Lord, not because he knew that he would be healthier, but because he knew this was something God wanted. So he respectfully asked for permission to refrain from eating the foods. Daniel respectfully approached the chief of his court officials and said, "Well, just give us a test, give us a trial, and let us try this out, see how it goes." He used the channels, he used the opportunities given to him, he used his position, and he said, if I can, may I serve my God here? In this case, God blessed him and allowed it to happen. But as you read on in the book, it didn't always go that way. See, Daniel remained serving the king of Babylon until another kingdom would take hold at the end of Daniel's lifetime, the Persians and the Medes. And throughout that time, Daniel and his companions would constantly encounter conflict because they walked between two kingdoms. It would come to the point where Daniel and his companions had to choose between not only following the Lord's commands, but even worshiping the Lord. His companions were told, you must worship this false idol. And they chose, even if God would not rescue them, to lay their life down. God delivered them and showed he's Lord of the nations. And the fire did not burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel himself was told to pray only to the king and not to your God. And Daniel still chose in defiance to serve the Lord and not to obey the threats or the fears of the things that would happen to him. But he feared God. And God delivered him as God shut the mouth of the lions, showing his people and reminding us that there is one who is over all the nations. When Jesus, our King, was put on trial, the governor, Pilate, said, don't you know that I have the authority to set you free or to crucify you? And Jesus, like the men in ancient Israel, held to the word of God and perfectly submitted to his heavenly Father. The same Jesus who recognized the Father's plan, recognized, yes, there were authorities, but he proclaimed to Pilate, you would have no authority over me if it weren't given to you from above. And yet Jesus submitted to that governing authority. He laid down his life to accomplish God's purpose. Far greater than what Daniel did in worshiping the Lord and being thrown to the lion's den, or far greater than what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did when they refused to bow down to idolatry and were thrown into the fire. Jesus, the Son of God, for all the times that we've failed to put our Lord first, stepped in our place. For all the times where we caved into the pressures of our governing societies or world around us and said, well, this is the easier path. He followed the Father's path. And more than that, for all the times where we rebelled against authority. And unlike Daniel, who respectfully used the appropriate channels, we either mocked or spoke against or disobeyed or disregarded the authority God has given. Jesus stepped in and said, you have authority. It's given to you from above. And even submitted to that authority to the point of giving up his life. For all the times that we would not obey earthly authorities, Jesus did. For all the times that we maybe feared to lay down our life, to worship the true Lord, and to follow our God, Jesus obeyed the Father's plan for us perfectly and was willing to go to the cross. You see, the Christian lives in two kingdoms. And it's only because we have a merciful God who sent his Son to pardon us for the times we failed to walk in the right kingdom that man Jesus came. He came, the true, perfect, and holy Son of God in human flesh, to walk both in the kingdom of this world and in the kingdom of his Father, and to do it perfectly in our place, that we might have the righteousness of God. And brothers and sisters, citizens of heaven, you are now called to live in this world following him, obeying the governing authorities, because every authority that exists has been established by God. And yet, like the apostles to say, when it comes down to it, we will obey God rather than men. And even though the world and the governing authority around us might tempt us to walk in a different path contrary to our Lord, I'm willing to lay down my life for my King. And why should I be? Because he laid down his life for mine. And he set me free from slavery to the kingdoms of this world and to sin. And he freed me from the clutches of the grave. And he, not just for 250 years, brought me a freedom that will last into eternity. Because that man, Jesus, the Son of God, also conquered death and rose to life, defying the decree of Pilate that he be sentenced to death, defying the rulers of the Jewish people who had condemned him. Jesus rose again to life, fulfilling the prophecy which Daniel saw of the one who was like a son of man, led into the presence of God the Father, and all kingdoms and people would bow down before him and worship him. And his kingdom is one that will never end. We might be tempted at times to turn aside from worshiping and following the true God as we live in the kingdom of this world. A kingdom that, yes, God uses to bless us, a kingdom we can be thankful for, especially in a kingdom like ours, a nation that has a Bill of Rights and a constitution that we can, in freedom, worship our God. But when push comes to shove, or when we are called to lay down our life, if God should bring it to that point, that we can willingly pour out our lives for the sake of not just freedom of this world, but lay down our lives for the freedom of the gospel. Because we have been freed from death, freed from our sin, and freed now to worship our King. With that in mind, honor, give thanks, and praise God for those who govern and lead and guide, that God might give them wisdom, that they might serve in diligence and preserve the peace. But remember, the true and lasting peace is from our risen King Jesus. And it's in his name that we walk between the two kingdoms. God bless your celebration of the peace that we enjoy in this kingdom of the world, and especially in the kingdom we enjoy forever, in the kingdom of our God. Amen.